Advaita Acharya Goswami is an incarnation of the Lord as a devotee. His loud calling was the cause for Krishna's incarnation. Whenever Sri Krishna desires to manifest his incarnation on earth, first he creates the incarnation of his respectable predecessors. Thus, respectable personalities, such as his father, mother, and spiritual master, all take birth on earth first. Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri, Srimati Sachi Mata, and Srila Jagannath Mishra all appeared with Sri Advaita Acharya. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends in His human form, He sends ahead all His devotees who act as His father, teacher, and associates in many roles. Such personalities appear before the descent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Before the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there appeared his devotees like Srila Madhavendra Puri, his spiritual master Ishwara Puri, his mother Srimati Sachi Devi, his father Sri Jagannath Mishra, and Sri Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya, having appeared, he found the world devoid of devotional service to Sri Krishna because people were engrossed in material affairs. Everyone was engaged in material enjoyment, whether sinfully or virtuously. No one was interested in the transcendental service of the Lord, which can give total relief from the repetition of birth and death. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Advaita Acharya saw the entire world to be engaged in activities of material piety and impiety without a trace of devotional service or Krishna consciousness anywhere. The fact is, in this material world, there is no scarcity of anything except Krishna consciousness. Material necessities are supplied by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. We sometimes feel scarcity because of our mismanagement. But the real problem is that people are out of touch with Krishna consciousness. Everyone is engaged in material sense gratification, but people have no plan for making an ultimate solution to their real problems, namely birth, disease, old age, and death. These four material miseries are called bhavaroga, or material diseases. They can be cured only by Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is the greatest benediction for human society. Translation. Seeing the activities of the world, the Acharya felt compassion and began to ponder how he could act for the people's benefit. Today is the very auspicious celebration that is worshipped by all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. It is the appearance day of Sri Advaita Acharya. In this age of Kali Yuga, the great hope for all humanity is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kalera Dosa Nide Rajan asti heka mahangunar kirtanar eva krishnasya mukta sanga param prajayat. Kali Yuga is a vast ocean of faults. People are addicted to all sorts of sinful activity.
This bhakti that we are speaking is the real wealth. It is the real substance of Bharatvarsha. And it is the duty of every person born in this land of Bharatvarsha to realize it and to distribute this great charity to the rest of the world by our actions and by our words, by our life. And the world is suffering terribly. And India is suffering most terribly. Why? Because we are neglecting our inheritance. We are too weak-hearted. We are too petty in our ambitions in life. Keep your mind fixed on the ultimate goal. Perform all your work with this in mind. This is Sanatana Dharma. To come together in beautiful gatherings like tonight, to hear these higher truths of Srimad Bhagavatam, is the most important and sublime basis that we can create in our life for developing these higher virtues. Our Madan Mohan Prabhu and Radhika Rani, Mohan Shetty and his wife, we see how, if you look up, you will see these lights. There is the moon on one side, and then there is another moon on this side. It is the moon of Lord Gorchandra, the temple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has converted his house into a beautiful temple. He's a householder. He has some means. And what does he do with this temple? He invites people to come and to hear the glories of the Lord and chant the names of the Lord and give nice prasad. Such a wonderful life. Tonight there may be 200-300 of us sitting together to hear Krishna's message, to chant his name, to take his prasad. This is the first and greatest responsibility of a householder. Householders make money, whether you make a little or a lot. Use it to create services and atmospheres that will elevate people's consciousness. That is why Krishna gives us whatever he's given us. But it is our choice whether we want to use it for that purpose or not. So this is the wonderful opportunity that we all have. And what we are speaking is not something impractical, but it is something, it is actually the only way of life that's really practical. Because it makes sense, because it's based on truth. And it's blissful. Just have faith in Krishna. Just keep the association of his devotees. Just always remember him.
Hails. During that exhalation, innumerable universes, countless universes, come from the pores of his body and from his breath. In each of those universes, Mahavishnu expands himself as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, from whose navel Lord Brahma is born. from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu appears within the heart of every living being, as well as in an island called Svetadvip, which is a Vaikuntha world within this very material universe. When Mahavishnu inhales, not just this universe, but the entire cosmic manifestation with all its universes enter again into his body. Advaitacharya is this all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. One expansion of Lord Shankarshan is Sadashiva, the original form of Vishnu, who is the source of Lord Shankar. Advaitacharya is the combined incarnation of both that Sadashiva and Mahavishnu. It is described that once Sadashiva prayed to Mahavishnu that the Supreme Lord Krishna would appear in this world in order to deliver all the fallen souls who are suffering. In great compassion, Lord Shiva, he fasted and prayed, and Mahavishnu appeared before him and told him that. And when they both embraced, they transformed into one transcendental form. And then it was told that in this wonderful form, beautiful golden in complexion, they would both together come to appeal to Lord Krishna to appear in the world. At that time, there was a great devotee named Kuvera Pandit who lived with his wife, Labha Devi. They were residing in Shantipur when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared within their womb. While she was pregnant, they moved to a place in Bengal called Navagram, and that is where Sri Advaita Acharya appeared. On this very day, the seventh day of the waxing moon of the month of Magh, one of the great glories of Advaita Acharya is how he revealed the importance of devotional service. Advaitacharya is the Supreme Lord. However, he always was eager to be the servant of the servant of the servants of the Lord. He never wanted to be called upon by God, as he wanted to be the servant of the Lord. To show the world what is the glory of bhakti. Some people want to be God, but God wants to be the servant of the servant of his own servants. That is devotional service. Because the servant of the Lord is even more powerful than the Lord. By Krishna's sweet will, he becomes subordinate to the love of his devotees. Advaitacharya was living later on again in Shantipur, and he and the devotees were seeing the lamentable condition of human society. In order to be close to Vaishnavas, he would spend much of his time in Navadvip. At that time, Navadvip was the high seat of learning for all the world. The greatest scholars from Mithila would come to Navadvip to learn Nyaya or logic. The greatest scholars of Varanasi would come to Navadvip to learn Vedanta. Scholars from the south part of India, of Kanchipur, also came to Navadvip to get higher education. Navadvip was full of so much opulence. the Lord arranged it in such a way to make it appropriate for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. There were millions and millions of teachers and millions of students. At any bathing ghat, there would be hundreds and thousands of people taking their bath in the Ganges. And they were always challenging each other to see who could get a higher reputation for their material qualities. People were so much attached to material life. They would worship Mangala Chandi, a form of goddess Durga, for more and more material wealth and sense gratification. They would worship Vasuli, a incarnation of the goddess of the serpents. Especially very, very wealthy people would worship this serpent goddess for more wealth. People would accumulate so much money and they would spend huge sums for the marriages of their children. People would create so many different articles for their sense gratification to enjoy. In this way, Navadvipa was so prosperous materially, but spiritually it was in great poverty. People were so proud, arrogant of their wealth, their beauty, their high education, that they cared nothing for the virtuous principles of humility and devotion. Nowhere was the name of Krishna chanted. The Bhattacharyas, Chakravartis, and Mishras, who are supposed to be the scholars of the Vedas, would discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, but never discuss anything about devotional service. This caused so much pain to the hearts of the Vaishnavas. You know what happens when you become proud? You think you have the right to judge others. From arrogance springs the fault-finding propensity. The people of Navadvipa were constantly finding faults with one another. And especially they would find faults with the Vaishnavas. Because they live completely contrary to their whole purpose of life. The Vaishnavas were simple. They didn't care about material sense gratification. They had no forms of mundane entertainment. All day, they would just humbly serve the Lord. They would chant his holy names. They would hear about him. Thus, the people of Navadvipa condemned the Vaishnavas. They even condemned each other. The devotees, seeing this condition, were so much immersed in compassion for the sufferings of those people. Every day they would gather at Advaitacharya's house in Navadvipa for at least 1 or 2 hours. There they would continuously discuss the topics of Krishna and chant the kirtan of the holy names together. Advaitacharya was the leader of all the Vaishnavas. In fact, the entire town of Navadvipa, they had to respect him because he was such a great learned scholar. He was considered the best of all Brahmins. He was the spokesperson for the entire path of devotional service. Advaitacharya, seeing the compassion, feeling compassion for these people, was constantly preaching the glories of Krishna consciousness. He described the scriptures in such a way that every word of every line of every sloka of every scripture only pertained to surrendering to Krishna. He extracted the essence at all times, which is pure devotional service. However, even the great Advaitacharya, people were so much fallen that they would not hear from him. Sometimes the devotees, we become so frustrated. Srivas Thakur and his three brothers, Sri Ram, Sri Pati, Sri Nidhi, they would perform kirtan all day and all night at Srivas Angam. The people of Navadvip were so offensive. They hated the kirtan of the holy name. They would accuse that the king is a Muslim. If he hears about this chanting, he's going to come and punish everyone in Navadvip. Because of this Srivas and his brother who have basically gone crazy, they have lost all their intelligence. They're offensive to the Lord. The Lord is sleeping in his yoga nidra, and they're chanting so loud, if he wakes them up, he will destroy the whole universe. And if the Muslim king hears of this, he will come and punish all of us. We should beat Srivas and his brothers. We should tear down his house, throw it in the Ganga. When the devotees would hear these things, they would cry. What illusion! People are plunged in such ignorance. In this age of Kali, there is only one hope, and that is the congregational chanting of the holy name. The devotees decided, we should give up our lives. If we cannot help these people, why should we live? It was Advaitacharya who gave them the strength to continue on. With great bliss, he said to them that I feel within my heart that the Supreme Lord will incarnate in this world. I vow that I will pray to the Lord in such a way, I will perform such austerities, that the Supreme Lord Krishna will personally descend into this world to deliver the fallen ignorant souls. For no one else has the power to do it except Krishna himself. If the Lord Sri Krishna does not appear, you watch what I will do. I will assume my forearm form and I will sever the heads of all these atheists with my Sudarshan Chakra. Advaitacharya was reading from the Gautamiya Tantra how if one offers Tulsi Manjuris and Ganga water to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and prays, the Lord will fulfill whatever prayer is that. With this conviction, Advaitacharya resided on the bank of the Ganges. And throughout the day, he would worship the form of Krishna in Shalagram Shila. Each day he would offer Tulsi Manjaris and Ganges water. As he would do this, he would cry out so loudly for Krishna to appear personally to inaugurate the Harinam Sankirtan movement. He fasted. He fasted for days and weeks and months. His prayers were so intense. His loud chanting of the holy name was so full of ecstatic love that it penetrated through all the different layers of material existence. It went beyond Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, Maharloka, Satyaloka. Through the Brahmajyoti, the sound of his prayers entered into the atmosphere of Vaikuntha. where it attracted the heart of the Supreme Lord Krishna. It was on the basis of these prayers of Advaitacharya that Krishna resolved to descend into this material world. Within Navadvip, Krishna sent his own mother and father, Nanda and Yashoda, as Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. First the child Vishwarup was born, and then in reciprocation of the devotion of Sri Advaita Prabhu, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally entered in the womb of Sachi Devi. He appeared on the full moon night of the month of Phalgun, at the time when there was a lunar eclipse. During lunar eclipse, everyone, as a ritual for the purpose of warding off inauspiciousness, was in the Ganges, loudly chanting the holy names. Lord Gaurasundara appeared. At that time, Advaitacharya was living with Haridas Thakur in Shantipur. When they saw everyone chanting, they were thinking, let this lunar eclipse last forever. Never have we seen everybody taking shelter of the congregational chanting of the holy name. The entire environment was surcharged with so much auspiciousness. Advaita Prabhu and Haridas Thakur felt such joy in their hearts that they were dancing and dancing and dancing, chanting and singing. People could not understand why they are so blissful. Lord Chaitanya sent Advaitacharya sent his good wife, Sita Thakurani, with wonderful gifts to offer the beautiful child of Sachi Devi. When Sita Thakurani saw this child within her heart, she understood that this is Krishna, the beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj, who has appeared with this most lustrous golden complexion. She brought various presentations and offered them with great love to the child. But Lord Chaitanya, in order to perform his lila according to his own sweet will, he completely covered the hearts of the devotees so they were not able to recognize him as being their worshipable Lord. Lord Chaitanya's older brother, Vishwarup, who was none other than expansion of Lord Nityananda Balaram, he had no attraction at all to this material world. When he saw the people of Navadvip so much immersed in educational studies, various types of businesses for sense enjoyment, his heart wept and wept and wept in sorrow upon seeing their state of affairs. They were utterly devoid of devotional service to Krishna. As Vishwarup grew older, he would leave his house early in the morning to go to Advaitacharya's home. There, throughout the entire day, he would hear and chant the glories of Lord Krishna with the Vaishnavas. In fact, Vishwarup was such a scholar. He had such devotion. When he would describe the scriptures according to the essence of bhakti, the devotees would go mad with ecstasy. Advaitacharya would roar like a lion. Sometimes when Advaitacharya would be worshipping his deity, performing all the rules and regulations of puja exactly according to the scriptural standards, when he would hear Vishwarup describing the glories of the Lord, he would leave the deity. He would roar like thunder and embrace Vishwarup, weeping and crying. All the devotees blessed him. Each day, Sachi Mata would cook, and she would send her little son, Vishwambar, Lord Chaitanya's name at that time, to get his brother. Little Vishwambar, with his friends, they would be playing, covered with dust. He would run to the house of Advaitacharya and say, Vishwarup, Mataji has cooked rice for you. Please come. He would pull his brother's dhoti. The devotees headed by Advaitacharya, who were immersed in Harikatha, when they saw the beautiful golden form of Nimai, their hearts swelled with ecstatic love. They could do nothing but stare at him with their eyes. They could not even speak about Krishna. They were so immersed in the beauty of every limb of this child. Then Vishwarup and Nimai would run home. The devotees would just be stunned. Advaitacharya would say, this child is not an ordinary boy. His beauty is awakening so much ecstatic love in my heart as if he were Krishna. Who is this child? But Lord Chaitanya would not allow them at that time to understand the truth of his true identity. Sometime later, after taking prasad, Vishwarup would immediately come back to Advaitacharya's house till late at night, then go back to his home and sleep, and that was his schedule. Vishwarup did not want to live in a society where there was not the hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord. One day, without telling anyone, he left his home to take sannyas. He became known as Shankar Aranya Swami. When Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra understood what had happened, it was like a great thunderbolt striking their soft hearts. The devotees headed by Sri Advaitacharya, they were simultaneously in bliss that this child has renounced everything and has become a sannyasi to go in the forest. And they were merged in an ocean of lamentation because they no longer had his association. The devotees were weeping and crying at the loss of Vishwarup's wonderful satsang. How will we live without hearing his beautiful, beautiful discourses and seeing his beautiful devotion? As the devotees were weeping and crying, Advaita Prabhu, he called out very loudly, devotees, please do not lament. I can feel in my heart that Lord Krishna Chandra, he is living within this world right now, and he will soon reveal himself to us. So now, please happily chant the holy names. All the devotees began loudly chanting the holy names. Little Nimai was playing with his friends. He heard the chanting. He came running to the house of Advaita. Advaita Chandra Prabhu asked, oh child, why have you come? Nimai, who was wearing nothing but the four directions, Parvati looked at Advaita and smiled, replied, "Why have you called me?" Then he ran away. Advaita Prabhu and the devotees looked at him. They could not stop looking at him. They were wondering, "Who is he? Why is he attracting my heart?" It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that Maharaj Parikshit asked Sukadeva Goswami, "How is it that the residents of Vrindavan loved Krishna more than their own children? This is impossible. We all know how much attached a person is to their children. You cannot love another person's child more than your own. But yet in Vrindavan, every gopi and every gopa love Krishna more than their own child. Can you explain this mystery to me?" Shukadeva Goswami described how Krishna is the super soul, Paramatma, of everyone's heart. When the Paramatma leaves the body is nothing more than a dead corpse. Even your most beloved child, your most beloved friend, after the Paramatma leaves, you are no longer attracted with love to that body. You put it in the ground or you burn it with fire. So actually it is Krishna who makes everything attractive within this world. He is the source of all life. He is the very origin of the Paramatma. So why should it be a surprise that the residents of Vrindavan loved Krishna more than anyone when he was revealing his full to the Brijvasis? Similarly, little Nimai Pandit, everyone of Navadvip simply loved him. Even the atheists, but they could not understand who he was. But especially the devotees. In this way, Advaitacharya was covered over by the transcendental will of himself and his supreme master, Lord Chaitanya. This was their lila. So Lord Chaitanya lived in Navadvip as the greatest of all scholars. Later he went to Gaya and accepted initiation from Ishwarapuri. When he returned, he manifested the supreme opulence of the love of Srimati Radharani for Krishna. Nowhere at any time was such love ever displayed. The devotees were so much pleased to see that Nimai Pandit has become a Vaishnava. They ran to the house of Advaitacharya to tell him. In great bliss, Lord Advaita exclaimed, "How last night I had a dream. Let me tell you about this. I was studying Bhagavad Gita, and every sloka of Gita I must explain in reference to surrender to Krishna with pure devotion. But I came upon one sloka where I couldn't figure out how this connects to pure devotional service. So I decided I cannot eat or drink anything until this knowledge is revealed to me. I began my fast. That night when I was sleeping, a wonderful personality appeared before me and told me, 'Get up and eat. Your prayers have been answered. The Supreme Lord has descended on this earth. And in every town and every village, he will propagate the glories of the chanting of the holy name.'" In my heart, I could only see the beautiful form of Vishvambhar. His beautiful golden limbs resplendent like millions of suns. Then I understood that it is he who I prayed for all of these years. One day, Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar decided to visit Advaitacharya in Navadvip. When they came, Advaitacharya was worshipping the deity with tulsi leaves. When Lord Chaitanya saw the bhakti of his devotee, he became so pleased that he fell unconscious. At that time, Advaitacharya took all the deity paraphernalia and began to worship the beautiful form of this small boy. At that time, he was hardly 20 years old. Advaitacharya was like his grandfather in age. He was worshipping the Lord by chanting Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha Jagad Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. He offered all varieties of paraphernalia to the Lord. Gadadhar Pandit, who was the Lord's friend, he understood that the Lord had become a great devotee, but he could not understand why the king of all Vaishnavas is worshipping him like a deity. He said to Advaita Prabhu that, why are you worshipping this boy? Advaita Acharya blissfully roared, Oh Gadadhar, how long will you go on thinking that he is just a boy? It was at that moment that Gadadhar Pandit understood that Vishvambhar is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Then Sri Advaita Chandra decided that if this is really my Lord, he must prove it. I will leave this place and return to Shantipur. And only if he calls me back, reveals his opulences, and puts his feet on my head will I understand that he is really the Lord that I prayed for. It is not that Advaitacharya had any doubts in his own mind, but it is that he wanted to, through this pastime, reveal the supreme glories of Lord Chaitanya as the absolute truth for the whole world. Sri Advaita Prabhu's only purpose of his every word, thought, and action was to glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went to Shantipur. In the meantime, Nityananda Prabhu came to Navadvip to meet with Lord Chaitanya. One day, Lord Chaitanya said to the brother of Srivas Pandit, Ramai Pandit, he said, you go to Shantipur and you give this message to Sri Advaitacharya. Tell him the Lord you prayed for, the Lord you worshipped, the Lord you fasted for with so many austerities, that Lord has descended in this world. I have come to fulfill your prayers. Please come here with your family members to worship me. Ramai Pandit went to Shantipur. When he came to the house of Advaitacharya, Advaita immediately understood what was happening. In his heart he was thinking, my Lord is calling for me. He has fulfilled all my desires. He asked Ramai Pandit, why have you come? Ramai Pandit says, you already Ramai Pandit went to Shantipur. When he came to the house of Advaitacharya, Advaita immediately understood what was happening. In his heart, he was thinking, my Lord is calling for me. He has fulfilled all my desires. He asked Ramai Pandit, why have you come? Ramai Pandit says, you already know, my Lord. Advaita says, where in the scriptures does it say that Krishna will appear in this age of Kali Yuga in Navadvip? Tell me, where does it say this? Ramai Pandit was silent. He replied with a smile. Advaitacharya asked, what is the message the Lord has given? The message is that I am the Lord you prayed for. I am the Lord you fasted for. I am the Lord you worshipped. It is my name that you called out so sincerely and attracted me to descend into this world. Now come with your family members to worship me. When Advaitacharya heard this, he fell to the ground crying out, he has come, he has come. I have brought him, I have brought him. Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaita, Achyutananda, his little tiny baby son, they were all crying and jumping up and down, chanting the holy names, let us go, let us go. They gathered the paraphernalia, immediately came to Navadvip. Advaitacharya told Ramai Pandit, I am going to hide in the house of Nandanacharya. Do not tell anyone that I have come. If anyone asks you, where is Advaitacharya? Tell them, he has not come. That day, Lord Chaitanya came to Srivasa's house. He sat on the throne of Vishnu. On rare occasions, for the pleasure of the devotees, he would actually manifest his supreme opulences as the personality of Godhead. But generally, he always maintained the role of a devotee to teach us the process of devotional service by his example. Sri Advaita Prabhu was so dear to the Lord. The Lord started calling out one of his names, which is Nara. He cried out, Nara, Nara, he is testing me. Ramai Pandit, go to Nandanacharya's house and tell him to come at once. I want to see him with my own eyes. Ramai Pandit immediately went to Nandanacharya's house. Advaitacharya and his family came. They offered their prostrated obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord said to Advaitacharya that I have come to this world only on the basis of your love and compassion for the fallen souls. It was your prayers that drew me from the spiritual realm. Now please worship me. Advaitacharya offered the 5 articles of deity worship, then the 16 articles of paraphernalia. He worshipped his feet, the Lord's feet, with tulsi leaves and chandan. He offered him incense and the lamps. He offered him water and bhoga, garments. He chanted. And then Lord Chaitanya ordered Advaitacharya, please chant my holy names and dance for me. Upon hearing this, Advaitacharya began to dance. As he was chanting and dancing, the devotees were struck with wonder. Sometimes he danced very, very enthusiastically. The next moment, very gracefully. Again, he danced with straw in his teeth, very humble. Sometimes he would roll on the ground, sometimes fall unconscious, sometimes he would roar like a lion. Sometimes he would come before the Lord, begging the dust of his lotus feet. In this way, he was dancing and dancing, covering the entire house of Srivas with his beautiful, beautiful dance. Lord Chaitanya asked Advaita, please ask any benediction from me. Advaita Acharya said that you have given me the chance to dance for you. That is the fulfillment of all of my desires. I have no other desire. The Lord insisted, please ask for another boon. I have come to this world by your command to deliver even the most sinful fallen souls if they take to the chanting of my holy names. Advaita said, give me this benediction. Even if a person has committed the worst, most abominable sins, if he chants your holy name sincerely, deliver him. However, those learned scholars and wealthy materialists who are so proud that they offend others, even those who are endowed with the opulence of renunciation who offend Vaishnavas, do not give them bhakti. Lord Chaitanya said, I agree. I will fulfill your desire. Advaita Acharya taught by his example the most essential truths that every aspiring devotee must realize in their life. His name is Acharya because he taught the world by his example. There is ocean of transcendental pastimes regarding the glories of Advaita Acharya. I would like to today very briefly explain some of those pastimes which illustrated so strikingly the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that Krishna is a person and you cannot approach him unless you worship him as a person with devotion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted initiation in the line of Madhvacharya especially because Sripad Madhvacharya worshipped the deity of Krishna and utterly refuted Mayavad, impersonal philosophy. Srila Prabhupada foremost representative of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted us to understand the essence of his mission on behalf of the Lord. Thus, he personally authored a pranam mantra that he wanted us to chant each day. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschajadi Shatari. That he is not the Lord, that he is the servant of the servant of the Lord. He is the servant of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his spiritual master. And what is his mission? To eradicate impersonalism and voidism from this world and establish the pure principles of bhakti. during Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Vyas Puja, Srila Prabhupada wrote a beautiful poem. And one particular verse of that poem was most satisfying to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Absolute essentient thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity thou hast removed. When Srila Saraswati Thakur heard this, he exclaimed to all the Vaishnavas, he has understood the essence of my mission. And for some time, wherever Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would travel and go, he would show the devotees and read them the wonderful glorification of Srila Prabhupada to show them, this is my mission. So Advaita Acharya, he was always eager to serve the Lord. However, because he was such a senior Vaishnava, Lord Chaitanya always wanted to worship Advaita Acharya. Sri Advaita Prabhu was the disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri. Thus, he was Lord Chaitanya's guru's godbrother. And according to the etiquette of Vaishnavas, one should honor one's guru's godbrother the same way one honors one's own spiritual master. Advaitacharya saw Lord Chaitanya as his worshipable Lord. He wanted to be accepted as the servant of the servant of his servants. But Lord Chaitanya worshipped him as a spiritual master. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya, because he was very strong like a lion, he would go to take the dust of Advaitacharya's lotus feet. And there was nothing in the world that Advaitacharya could possibly do to stop him. This is the position of Krishna over Mahavishnu. Same little Krishna who's crying in the lap of Mother Yashoda. Even Mahavishnu has no power before him. So one day, when Lord Chaitanya honored him and forcibly took dust from his lotus feet, Advaitacharya was feeling so much pain in his heart. A materialistic person loves to be honored. People in this world taste sweet nectar when their glorifications enter through the holes of their ears and into their hearts. And nobody likes to be second to another. But a Vaishnava is Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Seshana, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadhari. Sri Advaita Prabhu simply wanted to serve the servants of the Lord. It brought him so much pain when Lord Chaitanya would honor him. Thus, he decided within his heart, I am going to force the Lord to accept me as a servant. When the Lord punishes me, then I will know that he has accepted me as the servant of his servants. My Lord, he accepted the remnants of Durvas Muni. My Lord even accepted the footprint of Bhrigu Muni on his chest. But I am not Durvas Muni, and I am not Bhrigu Muni. My name is Advaita, and I am the servant of the Lord. The Lord has descended to this world to teach pure devotional service, unadulterated by any type of material enjoyment or mental speculation. I will teach impersonalism. I will broadcast that bhakti has no significance in the presence of impersonal speculation. And thus the Lord will take me by the hair and punish me. Thinking in this way, he went to Santipur along with Haridas Thakur. There he began to study the Yoga Vashishta by Sripad and the according to the philosophy of Sripad Shankaracharya. And he preached so enthusiastically. He was preaching that the essence of all the scriptures is impersonal realization. And the only means to achieve that supreme perfection is through jnana or speculative knowledge. All the scriptures declare this. In fact, devotional service to Vishnu is completely depending on impersonal speculation for its very existence. Devotion to Vishnu is like a mirror, and impersonalism is like two eyes. Without two eyes, the mirror has no value at all. I have researched all the scriptures in all the world, and I have come to the conclusion that the ultimate perfection of life is impersonal liberation. The Mayavadis, they were so happy. Advaitacharya has finally understood the proper conclusions. And the Vaishnavas, they simply laughed because they understood that his mysterious behavior has a very special purpose to please the Lord. Lord Chaitanya always wants to please his devotees. He understood Advaitacharya's desire. Within his heart, he decided, I will fulfill the desire of my devotee. So one day, Lord Chaitanya was roaming through the streets of Navadvip with Lord Nityananda Prabhu. With their own beautiful lotus eyes, they were observing the beauty of their own creation. Lord Brahma in Satyaloka was looking down, and he was so happy that Lord Chaitanya, with his own eyes, is seeing my craftsmanship of creation. This is the fulfillment of my purpose as the creator. The demigods looked down and they saw Lord Chaitanya like two beautiful moons, because they were so effulgent with beauty. The demigods were thinking that they were on earth and that the earth was heaven, Swargaloka. Everyone was attracted. Lord Chaitanya said to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, let us go to Santipur to visit the home of Advaita Prabhu. So they both began to smile and laugh. They walked along the banks of the river Ganges. Halfway between Navadvip and Santipur was a small village of the name Lalitapur. Just near the bank of the Ganges, there was a little house. Lord Chaitanya asked Lord Nityananda Prabhu, whose house is this? Nityananda Prabhu said, it is a sannyasi's house. Lord Chaitanya said, if we are fortunate, we will get to see him. Let us go. So they entered the house, and they both, showing the etiquette toward superior personalities,
in position.
They both bowed down before him. And the sannyasi offered a benediction. I grant you this boon, that you will enjoy great wealth, high learning, beautiful women, and good health. And much fame. Lord Chaitanya looked at him and said, that is not a good benediction. Wealth, fame, learning, and attractive women? What kind of a benediction is that for a sannyasi to give? A sannyasi is supposed to give the benediction that may Krishna give his mercy upon you. The sannyasi was very disturbed. He laughed in displeasure. He said, just see, what the scriptures say is true, that even if you try to do good to a person by giving him the most best gifts, that person will misuse you and beat you with sticks. What is wrong with the benediction I have given you? It is a good benediction. Lord Chaitanya replied, it is not a good benediction. If wealth and learning, fame, and having attractive women is actually the real benediction of life, then why is it that at the time of death all these things are taken away? The only thing that is eternal is devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the proper benediction. Actually, the scriptures say that one should bathe in the Ganges and chant the holy names, because by doing that one will get all sorts of material pleasures. And one will be promoted to Swargaloka after he dies. But these Vedic injunctions are only meant for ignorant fools. It's a way of tricking them to take bath in the Ganges and chant the holy names, because by doing that, gradually they will give up the desire for material enjoyment and they will take to the path of pure devotional service. That is the real benediction. That is the ultimate perfection of life. And that is the benediction we desire. The sannyasi became even more disturbed. He said, just see how arrogant. This boy is completely crazy. What mantra has he been given to distort his mind? You are a devotee of Lord Vishnu. How do you think you will maintain your body and your devotion to Krishna unless you have wealth? I am a senior person. I have been to Mathura, Ayodhya, Gaya. I have gone to Badrika Ashram. I have traveled to all the holy places for all these years and performed so much penance and austerities. I've studied so many scriptures. And now a mere child still drinking milk from the breast of his mother is thinking he can instruct me. Nityananda Prabhu, seeing the condition of this sannyasi, he said, he's just a boy, my dear sir. Please, please do not argue with him. I know your glory. I know how famous and good you are. As soon as he heard himself praised, the sannyasi became very happy. He said, please, please, take your meal in my house. Nityananda Prabhu said, we have urgent business, we have to go. Just pack it and we will take it with you. No, no, you please stay here. Take your bath in the Ganges, come back, take prasad, and then take rest. On the insistence of this person, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda went to take their bath in the holy river Ganga, and then they returned. And this sannyasi presented to them various fruits and some milk. Mangoes, papayas, jackfruits. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda offered that fruit with great devotion to Lord Krishna. They began to eat it. The sannyasi asked, "When will I ever have such guests like you?" He was looking at the incredible beauty of these two brothers. "Can I give you some bliss?" Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he had traveled to all the holy places for 20 years and he had met all kinds of different people. So he understood this was a so-called sannyasi from the left-hand school of tantric worship of Shakti. And he was addicted to drinking alcohol. As they were taking their fruit, the sannyasi said again, "Can I give you some bliss? I have nice bliss." At that time, the sannyasi's wife came. She rebuked her husband. She said, Why are you disturbing them? Let them eat their prasad." Meanwhile, she was glancing at them. She never saw such beauty in two beings before. Lord Chaitanya asked Lord Nityananda, "What is he talking about? What is this bliss?" Nityananda Prabhu said, "He wants to give you wine." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately stood up and said, "Vishnu, Vishnu!" And they washed their mouths and went to Ganga and jumped in with all their clothes. This is a very important story. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, even though this man was such a sense enjoyer, he was a sinful person. He was addicted to wine and women. But yet still, Lord Chaitanya came to his house, rested there, and took prasad there. This person did not become a devotee in this life, but in his next life he will become a devotee. However, Lord Chaitanya was so compassionate to give his mercy to such a sinful person. However, when Lord Chaitanya later on went to Varanasi, there were sannyasis there, but they were blaspheming the Lord and they were blaspheming devotees. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya would not show himself to them. When they heard of Lord Chaitanya's coming, they wanted to meet him. But Lord Chaitanya stayed at the math of Ramchandrapuri. For 2 months he hid in that math. He only went to the house of Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra, Vaishnavas. He never showed himself to these sannyasis. Why? Because these sannyasis were criticizing Vaishnavas. Even if one is very sinful, the Lord will give mercy. But if one criticizes the Lord and his devotees, the Lord will not give his devotional service. In fact, it is explained in this particular passage that even if one is a great sannyasi, if he criticizes other Vaishnavas, he will fall down. Lord Chaitanya later said, we will explain, that if one is criticizing Vaishnavas, if that person chants my name, through the name, I will destroy that person. Thus, Lord Chaitanya wanted to show how much he loves his devotees and how he will give his mercy to everyone and anyone. But he will punish those who blaspheme the Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda entered into the Ganges. They swam all the way to Santipur. When they came out of the Ganges, they were all wet. And Lord Chaitanya entered into his mood of anger. He called out, Nara, a name of Advaita Prabhu. You called me to this world and now you are cheating me. You called me to this world to get me to teach devotional service, and now you are hiding the principles of devotional service by your preaching. Meanwhile, Advaitacharya saw Lord Chaitanya coming. He was right in the middle of a lecture from Yoga Vasishta. When he saw Lord Chaitanya coming in anger, he became ecstatic. He understood, my desires will be fulfilled. With even greater enthusiasm and louder voice, he began roaring like a lion. Impersonalism is the ultimate conclusion of the Vedas. That bhakti is just a subordinate principle completely dependent on mental speculation. This I know, this is the conclusion, this is the evidence. He was rocking back and forth. He was so much enthusiastic to preach. Lord Chaitanya heard this. He stopped Advaita in the middle of his pravachan. Advaita, tell me, which is superior, impersonal liberation and the path of mental speculation or pure devotional service? Advaitacharya replied like the thundering of a cloud. In all cases, in all circumstances, at all times, impersonalism is better than devotional service. Lord Gaurasundar was so angry. His eyes were red. Sita Thakurani was so fearful. Everyone was so fearful. They couldn't even look at him. Meanwhile, the Vaishnavas, they were understanding a very special lila was about to take place. Lord Chaitanya jumped on the dais. He took Advaitacharya by the hair and dragged him off his seat, threw him on the floor, got on top of him, and began to beat him. He struck him again and again and again. As he was striking him, Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaita, she was so much worried, even though she knew the Lord is all merciful. She started crying out, my Lord, he's an old Brahmin. He's a very old Brahmin. Please spare his life. What benefit will it do to anyone to kill him? What is this punishment teaching us? Please spare his life. He is so old. Let him be peaceful. As she was crying out, Nityananda Prabhu was loudly laughing. Haridas Thakur's heart was full of fear, and he started to loudly chant the holy name. Shri Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so much away from any external consciousness, he did not hear a word of Sita Thakurani or anyone else. He just went on striking and striking and striking Advaitacharya. He chastised him. I was peacefully sleeping in the ocean of milk, and your loud cries, Advaita Prabhu, woke me up. You prayed for me to come to this world to establish pure devotional service and spread it to the whole world, and now you are hiding the truths that I have come to deliver. Why did you even call me if you were going to preach against my very mission? You have cheated me. Then Lord Chaitanya sat down next to the door of Advaita Prabhu's house, and he entered into the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said that, I am that Lord who with my fist punished and killed Kamsa. I am that Lord who even the demigods headed by Brahma, Shiva, and Lakshmi worship with their hearts and souls. I am that Lord who with my Sudarshan Chakra I killed that false imposter of Vasudev called Pundraka. In Varanasi, with my Sudarshan Chakra, I burned the whole city to the ground because they were offensive to my devotees. With my bow and arrow, I killed Ravana. I killed Banasura. I killed Narakasura. With the little finger of my left hand, I lifted Govardhan Hill for 7 days and 7 nights. I am that one Supreme Lord who took the Parijata tree for Swargaloka to bring down to this earth to please my devotee. It is me who cheated Bali Maharaj and placed my foot on his head. To protect Prahlad Maharaj, with my nails I tore Hiranyakashipu to pieces. The Lord was in his mood of punishing. When Advaitacharya heard these words, he became blissful. He began to dance. He was crying in ecstasy, dancing and dancing and dancing. He said, my Lord, this punishment you have given me is only a small portion of what I deserve. But today you have revealed yourself as the Supreme Lord, and today you have accepted me as your servant. Where is your mentality of glorifying me and taking the dust of my lotus feet? Today, all my desires have been fulfilled. You have punished your servant. Then Advaita started dancing and chanting, and the devotees were struck with wonder. Everyone began to call out, Jaya, Jaya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then picked up Advaitacharya, who was at his feet. Advaitacharya was clasping onto the feet of the Lord, holding it to his head. Advaitacharya was crying and crying in such happiness upon being punished by the Lord. Seeing this Nityananda, seeing the mercy the Lord was having on his devotee Nityananda Prabhu, was cascading oceans of tears from his eyes. As was Haridas Thakur weeping and crying. Sita Thakurani and the little baby Achyutananda, they were all laying on the ground, weeping and crying to see what kind of mercy Advaitacharya has achieved. Then Lord Chaitanya spoke. The glory is his devotee. How much he loves his devotees. Everyone, please give your thoughts to me, Lord Chaitanya said. Please hear the truth I will now say. Anyone who neglects my servant and then worships me is very lowly and degraded. Such a person cuts me into pieces. His worship of me is like fire burning my body. My holy name, which is a kalpa vriksha tree, destroys anyone who blasphemes my servants. The living entities who live in the numberless universes are all my servants. Therefore, any living entity who harms another living entity will perish. You are more dear to me than my own body. Anyone who offends you will not be able to bear the fate that waits for him. If a sannyasi blasphemes an innocent person, the sannyasi will fall down. All his piety will perish. Raising his arms, beautiful golden Lord Chaitanya declared to the entire world, renouncing criticism of others, everyone please chant Lord Krishna's holy name.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare.
Renouncing criticism of others, everyone please chant Lord Krishna's name. I will personally deliver anyone who does not criticize others and who chants Krishna. That is the truth. It is the truth. When Lord Chaitanya spoke these words, the devotees responded with Jai, Jai, Jai. Sri Advaitacharya then fell at the feet of the Lord, offered beautiful prayers to him. Lord Chaitanya turned to Sita Thakurani and said, "You are my mother. Please cook for me." Sita Thakurani was very happy. She immediately went to the kitchen to cook. And Lord Chaitanya, Advaitacharya, and Nityananda Prabhu went to take their bath in the Ganges. When they returned, they enjoyed wonderful, wonderful feast of Sita Devi's prasad. Then all together, they returned to Srinavadvip Dham. Through this story, Advaitacharya revealed through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya how displeasing impersonal philosophy is. We must be very, very discriminate. Even milk touched by the lips of Mayavadi, in this sense, milk touched by the lips of a serpent becomes poisonous. Similarly, even Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, has negative effects in the heart if it is presented with this impersonal conception. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that even if one is on the stage of Mahabhagavat, If he submissively hears the Mayavad philosophy, he will fall down. Why? Because this philosophy destroys the propensity to serve and perpetuates the very reason we remain in this material world, is we want to enjoy the position of the Lord rather than the servant. He also extolled through this story the glory of his devotee's love and how intolerable it is to bear for him the criticism of Vaishnavas. One day, Sri Advaitacharya was dancing in kirtan, meditating on the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan's separation. He was dancing and dancing, and then in his lamentation, he began to roll on the ground. Somehow, Srivas and others pacified him. When he was sitting peacefully, they went to take bath in the Ganges. But then again, this ecstatic emotion of lamentation, of separation, awakened in his heart. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya... Through this story, Advaitacharya revealed, through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, how displeasing impersonal philosophy is. We must be very, very discriminate. Even milk touched by the lips of Mayavadi, in this sense, milk touched by the lips of a serpent becomes poisonous. Similarly, even Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, has negative effects in the heart if it is presented with this impersonal conception. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that even if one is on the stage of Mahabhagavat, if he submissively hears the Mayavad philosophy, he will fall down. Why? Because this philosophy destroys the propensity to serve and perpetuates the very reason we remain in this material world, is we want to enjoy the position of the Lord rather than the servant. He also extolled through this story the glory of his devotee's love and how intolerable it is to bear for him the criticism of Vaishnavas. One day, Sri Advaitacharya was dancing in kirtan, meditating on the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan's separation. He was dancing and dancing, and then in his lamentation, he began to roll on the ground. Somehow, Srivas and others pacified him. When he was sitting peacefully, they went to take bath in the Ganges. But then again, this ecstatic emotion of lamentation, of separation, awakened in his heart. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya was walking through the streets and he understood the heart of his devotee. He came to Srivas Thakur's house and took Advaita Prabhu into the temple room and said, "I want to fulfill whatever desire you have." Sri Advaita Chandra replied that, "You have come before me. You have fulfilled all my desires." Lord Chaitanya said, "I want to fulfill your desires. Please tell me." Advaita Prabhu said, "What Arjuna saw long time ago, please show me that." Immediately, right before the eyes of Advaitacharya, he saw the battlefield of Kurukshetra. There was a beautiful chariot with the form of Krishna. Four arms holding a conch shell, disc, lotus flower, and club. That wonderful form of the Lord manifested the universal form. Advaitacharya saw all directions filled with this magnificent form. He saw all the universes and all the planets, all the demigods, the oceans, the mountains, all living entities. He saw the Lord had millions of eyes, millions of mouths, millions of arms, millions of legs. With his mouths, he was devouring all living beings in his form of eternal time, who are not his devotees. Advaitacharya began to offer beautiful prayers to the Lord. At that time, Nityananda Prabhu was roaming through the streets, and in his mind, he was thinking, Lord Chaitanya is showing his universal form at Srivasa's house. Immediately he came, opened the door, and closed it. Lord Chaitanya revealed that form to both Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu. He glorified them as his dearmost devotees. They stood before the Lord offering beautiful prayers of love. Then they began to dance and dance and dance, glorifying the Lord by chanting his holy name. Thus, fulfilling the desires of Srivas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu withdrew this magnificent Virat Rupa and returned to his home. Meanwhile, Nitai and Advaita Prabhu, in ecstatic bliss, exchanged loving reciprocations amongst themselves in great praise of the Lord. Another time, at the house of Srivas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya entered into one of his rare moods, where he sat on the throne of Vishnu. He told all the devotees, whatever you desire, I will fulfill. The wonderful thing that happened is nobody asked anything for themselves. One person said, my father, he's a materialistic person. Please give him devotional service. Another person said, my children, they're not following my example. Please make them Vaishnavas. Another was saying, my wife, make her a devotee. Another was saying, the fallen souls, they were all asking. Then Lord Chaitanya turned to Srivas, what do you want? Srivas said, your mother, Sachi Devi, is the most worshipable mother for all of us. Please give her ecstatic love for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya replied, no, I will not give her ecstatic love for Krishna. I cannot give her ecstatic love for Krishna because she has offended a Vaishnava. When Srivas and the devotees heard this, it broke their hearts. Srivas said, how can you say this? She is your mother. You appeared in this world through her womb. She is worshipable to all of us. If you do not give her your mercy, we will not be able to maintain our lives. What could she possibly have done? And even if she has, please forgive her. The devotees were literally crying to hear that the Lord would not give ecstatic love to Sachi Devi. They were pleading with the Lord, please. Lord Chaitanya said, she has committed an offense to Advaita Acharya. Unless she achieves the dust of the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya upon her head and begs his forgiveness, she cannot achieve Krishna consciousness. The devotees immediately went to where Advaita was, and they told that Sachi Mata has made an offense to you. Lord Chaitanya will not give her Krishna consciousness until she takes the dust from your feet on her head. Advaita was saying, what? She's my mother. She's my universal worshipable deity. Sachi Mata. It is through her womb that the Lord descended. She is the very embodiment of pure devotional service. She is none other than Devaki. She's none other than the incarnation of Mother Yashoda. She's the personification of love. Advaitacharya was so much immersed in glorifying Sachi Mata that in the ecstasy of remembering her, he fell unconscious. At that moment, Sachi Mata took the opportunity. She took the dust from his lotus feet and placed it on her head, bowed down with utter humility. Upon taking the dust of his feet on her head, Sachi Mata became so ecstatic, she fell unconscious. Devotees were watching. That Advaita was unconscious, meditating on the glories of Sachi Devi, and Sachi Devi was unconscious, meditating on the glories of Advaitacharya. This is Vaishnavism. Devotees, they were in ecstatic love to see this loving exchange, and all of them were dancing and chanting the holy name. Lord Chaitanya smilingly looked upon Sachi Devi and said, today I give you the priceless treasure of ecstatic love for Krishna. When the devotees saw the mercy of the Lord upon his devotee, they became filled with the greatest happiness. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that the people of the world, especially Navadvip, they were not properly offering respect to him, and thus they were cheating themselves of the goal of Krishna consciousness for the benefit of the puffed up people and the atheists, he left his home to take sannyas when he was only 24 years old. In Katwa, he took his sannyas vows from the great sannyasi Keshav Bharati Maharaj. He decided to go to Vrindavan. However, Nityananda Prabhu understood the condition of the devotees. I will share very briefly what was the condition of the devotees. Lord Chaitanya left in the middle of the night. When the devotees came the next morning to greet the Lord, they saw Sachi Devi standing like to become a sannyasi. Meanwhile, Chandrasekhar, who was the maternal uncle of Lord Chaitanya, Sachi Devi's sister's husband, he actually performed the fire yajna and the rituals for the sannyas initiation of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya told him, go back to, or I'm sorry, Nityananda Prabhu told him to go back to Navadvip to tell the devotees. When the devotees heard that the Lord had taken sannyas, they could not bear the thought of living without his association. Advaitacharya said, "Today I will give up my life. Today I will drown myself in the river Ganges. And if anyone tries to stop me, then I will do it in the middle of the night when no one is around." And the other devotees around, they said, "We will not try to stop you. We will go with you. We will all drown in the Ganges. How can we live without the beautiful presence of Vishwambhar?" So all the devotees, headed by Advaitacharya, went to the Ganges with the commitment of ending their lives. A voice spoke from the sky, "O Sri Advaita Prabhu and all Vaishnavas, do not take your life. In only days, the Lord will be back with you again. You will be chanting and dancing together as always before." When Advaitacharya heard this message, he spoke it to all the Vaishnavas, and they all began to happily chant the holy names. Lord Nityananda Prabhu tricked Lord Chaitanya to going to Shantipur instead of Vrindavan. Why? Because Nityananda Prabhu understood the heart of hearts of Lord Chaitanya. Although it was his great aspiration for so many years to go to Vrindavan, a more intimate desire than that was to please his devotees. Nityananda Prabhu sent the message to Advaitacharya. As Lord Chaitanya was thinking he was coming to the river Jamuna, it was actually the river Ganga. He was bathing in the Jamuna, thinking he was in Vrindavan. Then Advaitacharya Prabhu came on a boat with dry copins and an extra set of cloth. Lord Chaitanya said, "Advaita Prabhu, how did you know I was in Vrindavan?" Sri Advaita Chandra replied, "This is Santipur. This is Ganga. This is Ganga. Nityananda Prabhu cheated me. He told me I was going to Jamuna." Advaitacharya Prabhu, he said, "No, actually he did not cheat you, because it is the Jamuna. At Prayag, the Jamuna and Ganga meet. The eastern side then it becomes one river. It's called the Ganga. But actually the eastern side is Ganga, the western side is Jamuna, and because you're bathing on Jamuna, the western side, Nityananda Prabhu is correct. Now please come to my home." For many days, Lord Chaitanya enjoyed wonderful festival in the house of Advaitacharya in Shantipur. Sachi Mata came by palanquin. The devotees carried her. And all the devotees of Navadvip and the other outlying villages came to be reunited with Lord Chaitanya again. In the house of Advaitacharya in Shantipur for many days, there was kirtan harinam, and Sachi Devi was cooking wonderful feast for all the Vaishnavas. It was there that the devotees headed by Sachi Mata requested Lord Chaitanya to make his base in Jagannath Puri rather than Vrindavan. From Advaita Prabhu's house, he departed for Puri. And every year he would call his devotees for the Ratha Yatra. He divided into seven parties of Vaishnavas. And every year, the lead dancer of one of those parties was Sri Advaita Acharya. When Lord Chaitanya, on another occasion, made an attempt to go to Vrindavan, on the way back from Ramkeli, the time he didn't actually go to Vrindavan, he stopped in Shantipur. That's a wonderful story. Previous to this, Advaita Acharya was in his home, and one sannyasi came to his house. Advaita Acharya, who was the perfect example of Vaishnav culture, offered all respects to the sannyasi and said, "Please, let me give you prasad." The sannyasi said, "I will only take your prasad after you answer my question." Advaita Prabhu said, "Please take prasad, then I will answer your question." "No, you answer my question first." "What is your question?" "What is the relationship between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Keshav Bharati Maharaj?" Advaita Acharya began to think that there's an internal and external way of answering this question. From the material point of view, Keshav Bharati Maharaj is Lord Chaitanya's guru. He gave him initiation and sannyas. But from the spiritual point of view, Keshav Bharati Maharaj is Lord Chaitanya's servant. However, we should begin by speaking from the material point of view. After all, Krishna is known as Devaki Nandan. Even though he's not actually the son of Devaki, still he's glorified as the son of Devaki. Yashoda Nandan, Nanda Nandan, Vasudeva Nandan. Advaita then replied, "You already know these things. I don't know why you ask, but Keshav Bharati Maharaj is Lord Chaitanya's sannyas guru." At that moment, little Achyutananda, little tiny child, he wasn't even wearing clothes. He came running into the room. He said, "My dear father, what have you said? What bogus philosophy you're speaking? You say Lord Chaitanya has a guru? What is this nonsense? You're supposed to be my father. You're supposed to be my shiksha guru. How will I ever learn if you speak this? This is an illusion. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord. How could he have a guru? Lord Chaitanya's planetary expansion, Mahavishnu, is exhaling and producing millions and millions of universes. He expands himself as Garbhodakshai Vishnu. From him a lotus flower stems from his navel, and Brahma is born." Brahma was completely bewildered until Lord Chaitanya instructed him in the four slokas of Srimad Bhagavat. He initiated Brahma as the original guru of this universe. And then great sages like Narada Muni and Sanat Kumar, they became disciples of Narada by hearing him. And in this way the parampara has gone down. And you are saying that he has a spiritual master? My dear father, you should be ashamed what you are speaking. This is an illusion. Then Achyutananda was silent. Advaita Acharya was so happy to hear the faith that little tiny Achyutananda had in Lord Chaitanya. He picked him up and started embracing him. Advaita Acharya started weeping, giving him abhishek of tears. He started taking the dust from Achyutananda's feet and smearing it on his body. He was so emotional and proud of his son, he was taking dust from every limb of his body and putting it on his body. Advaita Acharya said to his little Chinese son, "That you are my father, I am your son." Achyutananda became very embarrassed. The sannyasi was thinking, "Like father, like son." He bowed down to both of them and left very happily. At that very moment, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates arrived at Advaitacharya's door. Advaitacharya greeted him with such love and devotion. Then little Achyutananda came running in, offering obeisances. Lord Chaitanya picked him up and embraced Advaitacharya's son. Embraced him. Lord Chaitanya loved this little boy so much he would not let him go. Lord Chaitanya himself bathed the child with the tears of his affection. This is how the Lord loves those who are dear to his devotees. It was a beautiful scene. Lord Chaitanya stayed at his home for some time, and then it became the auspicious day of the disappearance of Srila Madhavendra Puri. Advaita Acharya wanted to show by his example how one worships the spiritual master. Every single thing he had, he used for the celebration. He started making glorious arrangements. Madhavendra Puri was the very seed of the tree of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to this world. He was such a great devotee that he wandered throughout the holy places. It was in this western side of India that he personally accepted Nityananda Prabhu as his disciple. It is said that when Madhavendra Puri would see a rain cloud, he would immediately think of the beautiful complexion of Shyam Sundar, and he would fall to the ground in ecstatic love. He was constantly chanting. He was always searching for the association of devotees. But in the age of Kali, there were so many materialistic people, he could not find proper devotees to associate with. In his travels, he came to Santipur. There he met Advaitacharya. And in Advaitacharya, he found the most perfect devotee. How they lived together and associated together, discussed Krishna Katha together, danced together, chanted together in ecstatic love. It was there in Shantipur that Advaitacharya, who was Mahavishnu himself, appealed to Madhavendra Puri to give him Shiksha and Diksha. Advaitacharya thus wanted to celebrate the disappearance day of his Guru Maharaj in a wonderful way. There were rooms full of bhoga. All the devotees started volunteering for different services. Sachi Devi said, "I will cook the feast." And so many helpers were there. Nityananda Prabhu said, "I will worship every devotee here. That will be my service." Somebody else said, "I will make the flags and festoons." Others said, "I will cut the wood." Others said, "I will break the coconuts." Others said, "I will make the decorations." This way, all the devotees were busy preparing for this wonderful festival. And throughout the whole time, there was a group of devotees in the temple room, dancing and loudly chanting the holy name. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw all the preparations and the unity of all the devotees as they were serving Krishna together, he was very pleased. This spirit is most pleasing to the Lord. When devotees are enthusiastic and united to please Lord Krishna. When I was in the UK last summer, at the time of Janamashtami, I saw something similar to this. Under the guidance of Shruti Dharma Prabhu, Pranabandhu Prabhu, Sitaram Prabhu, so many hundreds and hundreds of devotees, many of them are here today. They were so busy, day and night, so enthusiastic, working in such harmony. For days and weeks and months to prepare a wonderful celebration for the Lord and His devotees. It is this spirit of cooperation and enthusiasm which attracts Krishna to empower us with His mercy. When everything was prepared, all the devotees came into the kirtan hall, chanted for hours and hours and hours throughout the day. They never wanted this kirtan to stop. It is this spirit of cooperation and enthusiasm which attracts Krishna to empower us with His mercy. When everything was prepared, all the devotees came into the kirtan hall, chanted for hours and hours and hours throughout the day. They never wanted this kirtan to stop until Sachi Devi announced it's time for prasad. I think many of you are probably thinking like this also. So I will end very soon. Thus they took wonderful prasad together, glorifying the devotional service of Srila Madhavendra Puri, as well as his most dedicated servant, Advaita Acharya. We explained at the beginning of our discussion how Sri Advaita Acharya was responsible for the descent of the Lord into this world. Similarly, when Advaita Acharya, who understood the heart of his Lord, realized that he had fulfilled the purpose of his incarnation, it was Lord Advaita who, from Shantipur, sent a message to Lord Chaitanya through Damodar Pandit. This message was written in such a mysterious way that no one but Lord Chaitanya and his most intimate associates could understand it. He revealed that, "Now, my Lord, you have fulfilled your mission. Now you may return to your eternal abode." It was after receiving this message that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immersed himself in the deepest, deepest sentiments of separation, Sri Radharani's separation from Krishna. Lord Chaitanya would often say, again and again, that it is by the prayers of Advaita that I have descended to this world. on this occasion, he explained that he who has called me to this world is now sending me back. The significance of Sri Advaitacharya in all of our lives cannot be comprehended. The inconceivable mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has so much manifested through this most glorious avatar, who has taught us as the Acharya that the greatest aspiration in all of life is to be the servant of the servant of the servant. When Sachi Devi apparently committed an offense, actually she never did, but Lord Chaitanya wanted to show the glories of Advaitacharya and warn people how careful we must be of criticizing devotees. I will go back and give that explanation as the conclusion of this talk. When Vishwaroop left and took sannyas, Sachi Devi was thinking it's because he was at Advaitacharya's house all day, every day, chanting and hearing the Vedanta philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. He lost all his desires for material world and he left and took sannyas. She was thinking it's because of Advaita's influence, but because she was such a great Vaishnavi, she would not speak anything to anyone except respect. But later on in the years, when Lord Chaitanya was married to Lakshmi Devi and then Vishnupriya, Lord Chaitanya was spending all his time in Advaitacharya's house with the devotees. He was hardly at home. So Sachi Devi was thinking, what is Advaitacharya doing? Because of his influence, I have already lost one beautiful moon-like son. I'm a widow. I have no husband. The only one I have to protect is my Nimai. But now Advaitacharya is constantly with him. Hari Katha, Hari Kirtan. I am a poor, lonely widow. I have no one to protect me. And it appears that he is going to take away the last thing I have in my life. People call him Advaita, but he is not Advaita. He is Dvaita. Dvaita Maya. He is full of duplicity. Actually, with love and appreciation in her heart, she expressed these words. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to use as an example, even his own mother, she cannot attain pure Krishna consciousness unless she follows the proper etiquette of Vaishnavas. He is called the Acharya, Srila Prabhupada explains, because he taught by his example so perfectly. On this very, very holy day, we are so pleased that by Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy, he is sent to give us blessings, one of the most wonderful representatives of Sri Advaitacharya. Jai Advaita Swami. Srila Prabhupada especially empowered him for Jai Advaita, to glorify Sri Advaita. So we would like for Jai Advaita Swami Maharaj to kindly illuminate us with his auspicious mercy.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Good. What else?
Maharaj could speak more with a glance than I can through hours and hours of talk.
That was the original Advaita. He does the universe that way. I just hang out.
He is my Shiksha Guru. Shiva Jaya Advaita Maharaj Ki
Ranganath Swami Maharaj Ki.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
He has bestowed his most auspicious glance upon us. I'm especially happy to welcome the devotees from Bhakti Vedanta Manor. Is Pranabandhu Prabhu here also? Somewhere? Pranabandhu Prabhu and Shruti Dharma Prabhu, Sitaram Prabhu are some of the leaders of this wonderful congregation. Truly one of the most successful congregational preaching programs in the whole world. Devotees who are so very much committed to Srila Prabhupada's mission and really doing incredible amounts of service, making wonderful sacrifices. The celebration of Janmashtami this year at Bhaktivedanta Manor was, I believe, the most successful and devotional celebration I've ever seen in my whole life. The preaching was outstanding. I believe there was about 80,000 people that came over the 2 days. 80,000 doesn't mean Indian calculations that we do here or some places. Actually 80,000 people. And the type of preaching demonstrations, exhibitions, the enthusiasm of the kirtans, the service of these devotees was unparalleled. We have so much to learn from them. They're only in Bombay 1 day. They arrived at 8 o'clock this morning, and tomorrow leaving early?
Evening.
But because they're in the spirit of Advaitacharya, compassion to the ignorant and foolish, they have decided to come and give all of their mercy to us today. So we would like all the devotees from the Bhaktivedanta Manor tour to stand up, please. Please. to say all their names is difficult. Everyone, please stand up. Everyone, please. Men and ladies. Nitesh Prabhu, who is the head of Pandava Sena, has been with us for a couple of days also. So let us very, very enthusiastically welcome them to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath's temple. We are deeply honored and indebted by your very kind visit to our